Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Sunshine 106.8. And the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
And good morning, I'm Carol Dooley. You're very welcome to join me for Hours to Protect. This series two, airing monthly the last Saturday of each month, puts the focus very firmly on climate change and climate action. Later we'll be speaking with the Deputy Principal of Pobblescull Nasun in Baldoyle, Carol Sadlier, on their commitment to sustainable practices and how they're also leading the way academically. Sunshine's Jane McNamara will talk with local young people about some of the environmental issues that most concern them. But first, I'm delighted to be joined by Sunshine CEO Sean Ashmore. Sean, thank you for taking the time to chat with us this morning. Can you first give us a brief overview of Hours to Protect and why your commitment to this initiative is so important for you, for the station, and of course for our listeners?
Okay, well, Sunshine 106.8 is one of a number of stations around the country that are taking part in this next phase of this initiative. We were delighted to be involved. We broadcast 52 programmes between 2023 and 2024. That particular project was a huge success. We could see it in relation to listener feedback. We could see it in relation to podcast downloads. And I think it's important that Sunshine, as a radio station, helps to, you know, in a very broad way, educate and inform and make this information available in, I suppose, an easily accessible way. So it's really, really important for Sunshine to take part. It's important for radio to play its role and to kind of help get the message out there. And I think in its simplest form is to highlight the easy ways that people can make a difference and to reassure people that small changes done by a lot of people can make a big difference.
Yes, and that's one of the things that we all learned, I think, during the last series. And this series will continue to build on that.
Yeah, and I think one of the differences between what we did last time and this time is that previously it was weekly and it was very short, and we felt going through that series that maybe we didn't have quite enough time to explore some of the issues. So this time around, taking it in a different form where it's monthly, but it's longer. So every last Saturday morning of every month, we'll have half an hour dealing with these important topics and giving it a little bit more breathing space that we can discuss it and highlight the things that people can do and the difference they can make.
And a particular focus on this series too is young people and their contribution to the debate on climate change and climate action. How important do you think that is to have that as part of this series?
I think it's really important. It's not just about young people, but if you take the view that we're, I suppose, engaging with on this particular program, is that the earlier you start making these changes and the earlier you think about the difference you can make, the more impactful it is. And what's become clear to us in the preparation for this particular series is that young people from a really young age do know about this, do think about it, do care about it, and are really keen to take the action. So I suppose we don't just want to get the message out to young people. We want to highlight what young people are doing as an example to everybody who's listening.
Absolutely. Certainly look forward to doing that over the next 6 months or so. Finally, can I ask you about Sunshine and you as CEO of Sunshine and your commitment as a business owner to sustainability and sustainable practices here at the radio station? Because I know from experience it is something that you are very committed to.
Absolutely. And I think it comes from two things. One is, it's important to set an example, and as a radio station, people will look at what we're doing or people will be examining what we're doing. But also, as a business, it's important that you have sustainable practices from your own financial point of view. A lot of the things that we've been doing do actually have a financial benefit once maybe you get past the initial outlay. For example, some of the things we've been doing in the station would be LED lighting in the studios. We re-equipped studios recently. We've gone for energy efficient equipment. We replaced transmission equipment in recent years, again, for newer equipment that's far more energy efficient. We have occupancy sensors in the office, so lights don't stay on without there being a need for the area to be illuminated. Throughout the company, we have remote working practices, and all these things add up to us using less energy to provide the same radio service and ultimately reducing our costs too. And we look beyond what we do ourselves. You know, as a radio station, we have transmitters and studios running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We look at where we're buying the electricity from and, you know, how green is that electricity that we're buying.
And I suppose it is fair to say, really, for all businesses, sustainability has to be now at the centre of their business practice.
I think the important thing for businesses who might think, even if it's briefly, say, actually it doesn't really matter, or we're not that worried about it, or we're okay with our current practices. And in the past, that was probably an okay thing to do or say. But the reality is, in the future, and it's happening now, is that the people who want to buy your products are looking for reassurance that they're buying off a company that is doing the right things. And I think, you know, from a business viability point of view into the future, you have to really be able to stand over where you're spending your money or the kind of carbon footprint you're leaving to reassure your customers that you're the right person or place to buy from.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that's one of the subjects we'll be looking at in more detail during this series of Hours to Protect over the next 6 months. Sean Ashmore, CEO of Sunshine 106.8, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And as we mentioned there, this series will put a particular focus on young people, how they feel about climate change and climate action and the issues that are of most concern to them. Here's Sunshine's Jane McNamara.
When it comes to the future of our planet, Ireland's younger generation is deeply engaged. A growing body of research shows that sustainability and climate justice are front of mind for young people today, shaping how they think about everything from education to travel to politics. In a recent UNICEF study, over 90% of young people surveyed said they were worried about the impacts of climate change on their future. But behind the statistics are real voices. This week, I spoke to young people about their environmental concerns and ideas.
What do you think about the scheme where you bring back your bottles and cans to get a refund?
I think the return your bottle scheme is good in the fact that they want you to recycle. And I think it's a good scheme to get you... Like some people say, oh, you're getting so much money from it, but you're not really getting any money because it's just the money that you paid extra for them.
Good, because then people are pressured to bring their cans home for like their family to like bring it back to the shop and get their money worth if you get them.
How old are you?
16.
16. When it comes to the environment, what are you worried about, if you're worried about anything?
I think it's really bad that teenagers vape with disposable vapes and then throw them away.
And are you seeing a lot of that on the ground?
Yeah.
And why do you think they're not putting them in the bin?
Because their parents would probably go mad at them if they brought vape homes. It's just easier to throw it on the floor.
If they have to recharge it, they have to bring it home. And then if they get caught charging it, it could just lay the trouble.
When you think about the environment, are there any issues that come to your mind?
I'm worried about fossil fuel use and the lack of awareness in teenagers and in the government in promoting more sustainable practices when it comes to like transport and getting from place to place, because everyone uses cars in Ireland and public transport isn't good enough for people to rely on it fully. So yeah, I think the government needs to implement some things that will make not using cars easier. Like, it's not just down to like individuals to change their practices towards like the environment. I think it's down to the government as well to encourage like more sustainable practices.
When you think of the environment, are there concerns? Do you have concerns?
I do. I think it's bad. People are buying lots of stuff from Shein and AliExpress and like stuff like that when they don't really need it. So it's like over consuming like clothes and stuff. And then like, I think that's bad because if we don't need it, why are we like buying it? And then it's going into landfills and stuff. So that's not good for the environment. And then sometimes like plastic and stuff is ending up in the ocean. So that's like interrupting the wildlife.
Do you feel pressure to buy stuff when you go on social media? Are you seeing a lot of ads? Do you feel like you're always supposed to be purchasing stuff?
I do see lots of ads about purchasing things, but I never really feel pressured to buy something unless it's like a trend.
Do you recycle in your house? What do you think about recycling? Is it a pain, or do you think it's worth it? Do you do it in your school?
I do it in my school and in my house. I've made a habit of doing it now, so it's just I don't really feel anything towards it.
As a 16-year-old, what are your concerns, or do you have concerns about the environment?
Mostly like rubbish and like vapes and all that. They're all in like bunches, and it just makes the place look really dirty.
Those are just some of the voices shaping Ireland's climate conversation. As part of this ongoing Hours to Protect series, I'll be hearing every month from Dublin's youth, sharing their views on the issues that matter most to them when it comes to climate change and climate action.
Sunshine's Jane McNamara. This is Sunshine 106.8 and you're listening to Hours to Protect, our new monthly series on protecting the planet and our future. Up next, we'll be chatting with Carol Sadlier, who is the Deputy Principal of Pobblescull-Nassan in Baldoyle, and she'll be talking to us about their commitment to sustainable practices and the environment.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8 and the IBI, is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more info.
And good morning. Thanks for joining me. I'm Carol Dooley. This is Hours to Protect, our new monthly series, series two, in fact, where we put the focus on the planet, protecting the planet, the environment, and as a result, our future. And of course, leading the way and very much at the heart of that is our young people. And much of the credit for how they are so positively leading the way has to be given to our schools and educational system. And I'm delighted to be joined now by Carol Sadlier, who is the Deputy Principal at Pobblescull-Nassan in Baldoyle. Carol, thank you for taking the time to talk with us this morning. You have been involved in the educational system for a long time, over 24 years, and I'm sure that during that time you have experienced many changes, not least on the subject of climate change and climate action. Can you tell us what has been perhaps the most profound change that you have seen, that you've experienced?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me on, Carol. Look, the emphasis has definitely evolved as knowledge has grown around the state of the world, you know. And I think when I started off in school, the emphasis, certainly in a young teacher's mind, was around exams, getting the students through the exams. And school, while extracurricular, was always really important to develop the holistic child. The biggest gift I could give the students was to help them do well in their exams. And that has certainly gone through a massive overhaul and evolution over the last 25 years. So what I would have seen is, from a curricular point of view, subjects designed specifically around creating interest and awareness and student agency in relation to climate. Also student voice, the power of student voice. And now I think certainly in the Leaving Certificate now, as it evolves and has been redeveloped, the emphasis is clearly around sustainability, climate action and student agency around that.
And the whole fight, it seems to me anyway, against climate change or for climate action is really being pioneered by young people. It's been pushed, isn't it, by young people. I mean, they take this, thankfully, very, very seriously. They're very committed to it.
They're very, very committed, and they have seen wonderful role models, you know, internationally representing the power of their voice. That really has impacted what they feel they can actually do. And it's a wonderful thing, because they're putting it to us, like, how are you going to facilitate this for us? Or can we do this? And we have, you know, we have 815 students in our school. And there's not a day goes by where I don't have either someone at my door or an email in my inbox with suggestions for clothes swaps or, you know, gardens development or foxes' dens. Or, you know, they're very, very active. And I think the space in transition year is just like a breeding ground for that. It just opens up the whole curriculum to what they'd like to do, and there's such freedom within it.
Do you see too that children who are coming, say, from primary school, that they're actually coming already with the knowledge of what needs to be done?
Absolutely, Carol, and no more now, no more than since my daughter started primary school this year, and I can see that it's huge. She can tell me stuff about nature. She has a vocabulary that I certainly didn't have in primary school around the environment. She's an appreciation for recycling, and she's only 5 and a half. So I would imagine that they build on that as the years go by. So there's no doubt about it. Sometimes we forget in post-primary school that they don't start their lives at age 12, that they've had eight years before they even come into us. And I think capitalising and building on that is great. But it's generally through the voice of the child that we hear it, you know?
Absolutely. And how challenging has it been for the school and for schools in general? Obviously, you're getting support from the government, and I know there is the Green Schools Initiative, but it must be challenging for
you. It is, Carol, because teachers are so busy. Like, you know, every initiative that's like nationwide seems to somehow rest in some degree, at least, on the shoulders of teachers. You know, all the schools should do road safety, all the schools will do environment, all the schools will do internet safety. You know, like, and a lot of things gets kind of jam-packed into a very already crowded curriculum. And teachers do sometimes say, what's the next initiative? What's the next? And they do have initiative fatigue. But I think when it comes to the environment, there's a different spin on it because they realise that it's an investment not only in the future of our children, but also in our environment, even in our local environment, you know. So there is, I think, an openness to anything that is associated with environment or climate in the school, which is a very busy place. But I've witnessed teachers going above and beyond to try to develop that capacity in their students.
Talk us through then what is going on at your school at PSN.
Yeah,
so what are you doing there?
Public School Nasthorn is a very, very vibrant school in relation to sustainability. Despite looking very unkempt, we are letting our dandelions and our clover grow, all our wildflowers actually, because they are the best source of pollen for our natural pollinators, the bees, which one third of the bees are in danger of being extinct, you know, and that's because they're hungry. So there's this nationwide campaign at the moment to don't mow the lawns, let them grow wild, let the bees eat and be fed on the nectar, you know. And so this is our second year doing it. Like we're a very bee friendly school, you know, and we think it's the right thing to do. We also have 10 beehives. And we also have a beekeeping course that is provided with adult education in the evenings.
Wow.
Yes, we do. So they come in with their white costumes and they have, 10 bees. You'll see them out the back of the school and it's very vibrant. But I'm always cautiously aware not to go too close.
Absolutely.
But
the kids must love that.
Oh, listen, well, it just shows that there's like tactile, real life examples of little colonies of bees and how they work. And it's great to be able to provide that hands on because we have a great science department and it's just literally behind their science labs. It's so accessible, you know. We're also one of the pilot schools for the new Leaving Certificate subject, Climate Change and Sustainable Development. And this is really exciting because what we're doing is we have a 2-year course that is cutting edge, and one of the requirements of it in terms of resources is that they have access to the most up-to-date research. So they're really conscious that it's a space that's always evolving and rapidly. So
let me ask about that then, because to me, picking up on what you said there, because it is constantly evolving, how do you actually build a curriculum around that?
You need
an exam curriculum, because by the time you get to do the exam, things might have changed and moved on.
Correct. And that's why you need such dynamic teachers. And it is a big ask from teachers. But I think our current teacher teaching it is called Mr. Lyons, and he is very committed to it. It was his suggestion to take it on. He's driving it, and we have 17 students are after signing up for their subject choices. We just got their subject choices back, and there's 17 students interested in doing it to Leaving Cert. So it will involve a lot of researching in the moment. It's project based as well, so that can be, I suppose, topical enough and can roll with the times. But again, it's a bit like the way all the subjects are going, Carol. 40% of all Leaving Certificate subjects moving forward now will be an additional assessment component. And so it is to try to keep it current and not to let it stagnate. So I think it will be a trend across all subjects moving into the future, you know. But it certainly is out there and exciting and also a bit scary, but, you know.
And the students who are taking this on board, you know, what their reasoning was behind coming to that decision? That doesn't sound like an obvious question.
No, it isn't. And you see, we introduced it in transition year, knowing that it was coming on stream and it is a subject that we would be interested in taking. So we were ahead of the curve and we had Mr. Lyons teaching it as an option in transition year. We do cycles in transition year, 3 cycles. So every student got to taste what that subject would be like. And 17 of them were bitten by it and said, yeah, I'd love to do it, you know. So again, it's to do with exposure. Once you create an environment where they can see and their minds are opened up to it, they'll take the opportunity. We have also introduced horticulture, Mr. Blake, I must give him full credit, into our transition year programme and into our Leaving Cert Applied programme. So our Leaving Cert LCA1s and our LCA2s get to create gardens. We've planted 400 trees. They have, not we, I can't take any credit. They've planted 400 trees around the school. And when you go out there, you see all these lovely saplings growing and it's like a little forest. We have also a vibrant young environmentalists team that's run by Mrs. Banks and her TY team. And last year, they reached the finals of the UNESCO Young Environmentalists, which we were very proud of them. They've built a pond. They have built a pond with their own hands. They've built a fox's den beside it, which is occupied by foxes and little cubs. They have a pocket forest, which is this, like, no bigger really than your studio here, of kind of highly densely populated forest, and they call it the pocket forest. So it's wonderful to see they've done clothes swaps, they've created a sensory garden in the community, and it's just, it's wonderful. And I asked them yesterday, like, what is different about participating in horticulture or in the Young Environmentalists? And they said, you get to see the world differently. You get to see other aspects of each other. And they were saying, like, you know, gardening is not something that they're all exposed to. One young man made the point, he said, I live in an apartment. We don't have a garden. So he's not exposed. So he now is out with a shovel and a pick, and he's like, he's digging out a pond, you know? And they told me they've great plans for it, that there'll be frog spawn in it, that there'll be, you know, all sorts of.
And the knock-on effect from that too, I mean, it's obviously wonderful for the environment and it's great for their education, yeah, on the environment, but it's also great for their mental health.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I just heard some of the reports today about the levels of anxiety, particularly among girls, and there is an insularity around their lives. You know, it's, teenage lives are jam-packed. I mean, they start school, our school anyway, at 10 to 9 in the morning and they leave at 3:30. And where years ago you would have gone out afterwards and played or whatever, a lot of them go home and their world has become very insular. They spend a lot of time on social media, which is very unhealthy for them. And the way they socialise is just very, very differently. It's virtual way more than certainly in my time. And I just think getting out into the environment, playing an active role in it, has such a transformative impact. Like the boys, and there was 4 boys took me in, and there are girls, but they just weren't there yesterday. They were so enthusiastic about it. You know, they really said, I want to tell you everything that I've learned because I believe this is unique and this is a little bit different. And one of them says, I'd love to go on and do something like this, you know, when I leave school. And that's exactly it, you know.
On the flip side of that, Carol, I've heard talk of something called eco-anxiety, yeah, where young people are becoming so concerned, yeah, about the future of the planet. That is adversely affecting their mental health.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And it must be difficult, Carol, you know, when you hear mass extinctions, climate crisis, damage to the environment. And you do, I suppose, get fatigued around it. Like I certainly would be guilty of saying, oh God, I can't listen to any more of this. I'm so fond of nature. I love animals. And the thought of, you know, something that we do or the clothes that I buy or the food that I eat is having an impact on them. You know, it weighs heavily. And so I'm not surprised that they are burdened by that because they're thinking of their futures and their children's futures. And it can look bleak. And I think unless we provide opportunities for them to actually change that and be active agents in it, we're doing them a disservice. You know, I think, is it Greta Thunberg? Greta really opened up the whole world to say, yeah, you can do it. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can put it to the adults in your life that they have to do something. And I think that was massively empowering for them, you know. So there is definitely, there's plenty of other anxieties, let me tell you, but certainly eco would be amongst them. Maybe not the most prevalent, but I could understand why it would be part of the bigger picture.
And what has been the reaction or the input, both perhaps, from parents? Mm. How involved are they and how positive has their reaction been?
Yeah, it's interesting because parents and post-primary are kind of estranged in a way. Like I see the vibrancy around the parents' participation in primary schools and it's huge and they know every beat of it. But I think when parents drop their children off in secondary school, it's very different. Teenagers don't like to share what's going on. They don't really talk about it. Parents are kind of distanced from the educational experience. And truthfully, while we'd have newsletters and correspondence with parents, they're virtual. And parent-teacher meetings are one of the only times out from celebrations like graduations that we get to invite them in and share what we do with them. You know, like every sixth class student that's coming into our school is invited to an open day. And on that day, we share our wares and we let them know everything we do. But then that's it. You know, there isn't the same flow in and out of the gates of primary and post-primary. And that's a shame.
Do you get a sense, though, Carol, that what your students are learning at school with regards to taking care of the planet, taking care of the environment, that message is filtering through to how the behaviours are at home?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Carol. I'm not sure I could answer that question. I don't know, truthfully, because I just know teenagers are.
You'd like to think so, though.
I'd love
you?
To think so, but I think they're notoriously tight-lipped.
I would suspect, though, that if the students are going home or coming home and saying, look, you know, this is what we're learning at school, that you can't really be putting your rubbish out there and you can't, yeah, be doing this and you can't be doing that. There has to be
a knock-on effect. You'd imagine. I mean, I'd love to think that when parents are dropping the students off and they're saying, Jesus, is Miss Neanderthal, that's our wonderful principal, not mowing the lawns, that they'd be able to explain why we're not mowing the lawns and why there's pollinators, you know, are important. I'd hope to think that that's the truth, but I think for me, I look for into their futures and what they're going to do with their children, you know, as opposed to the effect that they'll have on the parents. But it's just an interesting, you know, I didn't really think about the backwash effect into their parents. I thought more about their own children. So it's kind of it's interesting, you know. Yeah.
Now, as part of this series of Hours to Protect, one thing that we are doing and that the schools are doing is that they're taking an audio acoustic monitor and putting it in specific places. And this is all part of a unique collaboration with the Metalab Harvard Climate Institute for Climate and Sound, so that what I've heard called ecological phenomena, that's going to be recorded over the next 6 months. And then all these audio sounds, they're going to take all that and they're going to decipher it and see what is actually going on in our locality and in our community from a climate perspective. So you have agreed that your school is going to take one of these monitors and place it there. So, I mean, obviously we don't know now, but can you give us an idea of what you think might be recorded?
Well, look, anything, any association with Harvard is going to be a win for our school, so bring it on. But yesterday I was a keen aware of what are the sounds, you know, because it's funny, I've worked in that school for 8 years and I don't think I've ever stood on the grounds and just listened. Now that may sound strange, but that's the truth, you know. It was just this moment of pause where I said, well, what are the sounds? Because I went out to the area where the pond is and so it's very, very secluded. It's at the back of the school, it's quiet, and I could just hear so much bird song, just so many different bird sounds, you know. And I asked the young environmentalists what they hear, and they were saying just the wind through the leaves, and like it was so lovely just to say nothing and listen. And of course we're on a train line, and I had told the young environmentalists that there was going to be a listening contraption put there, and they said, oh miss, will the train not ruin it, you know. I said, well no, it's ambient sound, it's part of our sound, you know. We have students screaming and shouting and having fun, we have birds singing, you know, we've got wind and rain, and it'll be just, I will be interested to see what comes back, but I do think there's a lot to be said for just taking a moment and listening yourself to hear what is actually going on around you, you
know. Isn't that the truth? Because often we don't realise just how much there is.
So true. And particularly now the birds are so busy. Yeah. It's really frenetic, you know, it's wonderful.
Yeah, well, it'll be, as you said, it'll be very interesting to see what this audio actually records and how they're going to analyse all that and what the results of that will be. But we'll find out.
We'll find out.
About 6 months,
out,
you know.
Yeah.
And at the end of this, we will have you back and we'll be chatting with you to ask you how you think it all went over the 6 months.
That would be wonderful. I mean, some of our students were dying to come in and talk to you about it. So I would say that they would love to be invited back. And I suppose there's just a couple of people I would like to mention. Miss Banks, who has taken charge of the young environmentalists. None of this would be possible without teachers' support, you know. Mr. Blake for the horticulture, Mr. Lyons, climate action and sustainable development, and Breed Nyanrakon, the principal of the school, for her absolute commitment to sustainability. And she's very conscious of our environment. She's very conscious that that even the school environment has an impact on the students, and she has really really tried to make that school environment sustainable.
Well, it's obvious that your school is doing an absolutely phenomenal job. Your students are really, they've all come on board and have embraced it.
Yeah, they're great.
And that starts with you, you know. It's it starts with the staff, with the teachers.
It does.
That message comes from the top down.
It does.
So congratulations.
Thank
you
so much.
I'm very
Thank
much looking forward now to checking back in with you in a few months and talking to your students.
Yeah, I have a few more bodies on board.
Excellent. We look forward to that. Carol Sadler, who is the Deputy Principal of Pobblescull Nasson in Baldoyle PSN. Thank you very much. Pleasure to talk.
Thank you, Carol. Pleasure is all mine.
And that wraps up this, the first in our new monthly series, Hours to Protect. I'm Carol Dooley. Thanks for joining me this morning. A reminder, if you'd like to find out more about the Hours to Protect initiative, you'll find more information on our website, sunshineradio.ie. And if you miss any of our episodes, you'll be able to listen back there too. Hours to Protect is brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Naman with a television licence fee.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8 and the IBI, is funded by Cumashun Naman with the television license fee. Check out hourstoprotect.ie for more info.